Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Januarius, who was a martyr. Well, let me read this to you. The martyrdom of Januarius is well attested by ancient authorities. According to tradition, Januarius was a bishop of Benevento who perished with his six companions during the Diocletian persecution in the year 305. Brothers and sisters, what a history we have, what a tradition we have of those who willingly gave their lives. Frankly, I'd be terrified. If I simply look at my flesh, I'd be terrified. But there are many, many saints in the church who loved God enough that they didn't, of course they didn't want to be martyred. Of course no one would. But if they were called to be martyred, if they were arrested, if they were found guilty, if they knew they were facing martyrdom, they did it with joy. I don't mean happy, happy, but a deep-seated joy that says, I can honor the God I love by giving my life. You think even in families there are so many stories, men and women and even children, who have given their lives for other parts of their family, knowing what they were doing. I always remember a story I heard many years ago, and it is true. Story I heard of, and you may remember my sharing it with you before, of a mother and son and daughter out walking, and the son and daughter were very small, and probably around the ages between 4 and 6. And as they came to a corner and they were waiting for the traffic to move so that they could cross the street, and the mother's holding the hands of each of them, and this very large tractor trailer makes a turn. And you know, those kind of turns take a few moments to get them right. And he turned this corner. He turned it wrongly in some fashion. And the huge truck just fell over on its side. And the little boy, think of this, the little boy in that split second threw his sister behind him, and he was crushed by the truck. He was like 6 or 7 years old. He did it for his sister. It happened so suddenly, I don't have all the details with me, but the mother actually witnessed her son dying for his sister. Where does that come from but from God? I'm not speaking here in order to encourage you all to be martyrs. But if our love is strong enough and if our faith is deep enough, whatever God asks of us, we can say yes. Even if it's the ultimate, we can say yes to Him. I'd be terrified, but I also know that I love my God and you love Him. And if the only way in which we could serve Him was to die for Him, we would do it. But that takes prayer. That takes commitment. That takes a willingness daily to die to self in the small ways. So if we're asked to die to self in a larger way, or perhaps even the greatest way, we're ready to do it. Doesn't mean there isn't fear. Doesn't mean there isn't trembling. Doesn't mean that if I could get out of this, I would. But there's a grace of generosity that only can come from the heart of God, because that's what God did for us. He died for us so that we could live. He died for us. First reading is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 31, and then chapter 13, verse 13. So, chapter 12, verse 31, chapter 13, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts. Look at all the spiritual gifts. Ask God what He wants to give you. Be willing to receive what He has for you. Brothers and sisters, strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts. but I shall show you a still more excellent way. So strive eagerly for all the gifts, even the greatest. Ask for them. But I shall show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but I do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. It's meaningless. If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. I can put on all the outward show, but am I operating, am I serving, am I exercising gifts out of love or just out of self-serving? And if I have the gift of prophecy and I comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. Listen to that. If I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. In other words, what counts, brothers and sisters, is love. Not external show. Nothing that this earth offers takes place over what God says is most important, is that I do all I do out of love. If I give away everything I own, if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love is not pompous. It's not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. For we know partially and we prophesy partially. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. At present, we see indistinctly, as in a mirror, but then, face to face. Now, that verse I've stopped on for long periods of time. That the Lord says here, at present, we see indistinctly. In other words, we don't see completely. As in a mirror, mirrors in those days were rather distorted, so we don't see clearly. We get an idea, but then we will see and we will be seen face to face. I'm adding a little there just for repetition, clarity. At present I know partially, then I shall know fully as I am fully known. Those two verses stay with me a lot. At present I know partially, then I shall know fully as I am fully known. I'm going to see him face to face, and I am going to know him as fully as he knows me. Ponder those verses right there. This is the promise of God to us. And it comes, of course, through this marvelous, marvelous St. Paul, but it is the Lord's word to us. At present I know partially, then I shall know fully as I am fully known. So faith, hope, love remain these three. But the greatest of these is love. Make this passage, give it a place of daily meditation for a while in your life. Look at what God is asking of us, and we can't do it humanly, we can't. But if we ask that His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, dwells in us more fully, if we repent of our sin regularly and keep turning to Him, He will enable us to share the depth of His love and the depth of His heart. That's what it's all about. Psalm 33, bless the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. You are his. You are his. Blessed are you. So let's live in the inheritance that God has given us that we can see even on this earth. Let's live the truth he's given us. Let's live the example he's given us. Let's live the instruction he's given us so that we can be like him more and more, and that the world may see him and know him and love him. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verse 31, beginning with verse 31. Jesus said to the crowds, "To what shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, 'We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not weep. For John the Baptist came neither eating food nor drinking wine, and you said, he's possessed by a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you said, look, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" In other words, brothers and sisters, we don't know what we don't know what side is up. We make all kinds of conclusions. We make all kinds of judgments. What we want to do, and they're wrong. They're wrong. They're short-sighted at least. But many of them are just dead wrong. What we want to do is grow closer and closer and closer to the Lord through his word, through the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, as frequently as we can. And as we receive seeking him, seeking his face, seeking to become more like him, he will impart the grace when he sees that we really want to know him. We're not just saying it because those are the words of the prayers that are given us. We're saying it because there's a hunger and a thirst in my heart, and it can only be filled by the presence of the love of God, the loving God. But brothers and sisters, let's be what Jesus calls us to be, true disciples who love, who are, in a certain sense, servants of his love. It's not my love. My love is very short. It's very limited. But God's love is everlasting. God's love is lavish. It's magnanimous. It's forgiving. I want more of God's love in my life, that his love might work through me for the lives of others. That's the orientation that our lives should have, every one of us. You say, "Oh, I'm so far away from that." No, no, no. All you have to do is say to the Lord, "I want to be your disciple. I want your love to work through me for the salvation of others. Teach me how." Pray that way every day. Every day. I can recommend good books to you, but the most important thing, first of all, is that you daily read Scripture. Let the living word penetrate your heart. Let it be planted deeply within you, and may it bear fruit 100-fold for the glory of his name. Amen. In these times in which we live, I want to make sure that you can access my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. I want to encourage you, please, to get that booklet. You can have a free copy of it by calling 1-800-282-4789 or by going to our website, renewalministries.net, and just click on Bookstore. Please take the time to read it. May God bless you.